Good morning to each of you. It is good to be with you this morning, worshiping and just reflecting on our God, our great God who loves us, how deep the Father's love for us. He forgives our sin, like we learned about in our Sunday school lesson, and just reflecting on our need for him as well. So I've been blessed by the service this morning. Trust that we can continue to be encouraged through God's word as we look into his word this morning. Every year, approximately 1.3 million people run a marathon worldwide. And I was kind of surprised at that large number. But it's a 26.2 mile race. And typically, it takes about 4 to 5 hours to complete, depending on your level of practice. And the motivation, oftentimes, for people running a marathon is a lot of times just the satisfaction of completing a challenge. And the challenge that's there, almost a status maybe, to say, I ran a marathon. And then there's levels above and beyond that as well. But to run a marathon, it takes a lot of endurance. It's not an all-out sprint, but you have to pace yourself and make sure you don't wear out at the end. And I would like to use the marathon as an example of endurance in our Christian journey of following Jesus. And had several messages on following Jesus and different aspects of what all that involves. Following Jesus is a pretty important part of Christianity, Christian life, discipleship, and following after. So I had several messages so far on that. First of all, looking at who Jesus is, who are we following? Jesus describes himself as meek and lowly, and he invites us to come and find rest as we follow him. There's rest in Jesus. He's not a harsh or demanding leader, but meek and lowly. So we looked at that. We also looked at the path that Jesus leads us on. Jesus describes his path as narrow and at times difficult. It's the path of surrender. And it's the way of the cross. That's the path, the way of following Jesus. And one final aspect of following Jesus I'd like to think about this morning is that of endurance. The endurance that it takes. It's not just a one-time thing where we make a decision and then we're all finished and nothing else needs to happen, but it's something that takes an ongoing commitment, and I think we can liken that to running a marathon, the dedication to follow through. It takes patient endurance, and that's the title of the message this morning, Following Jesus with Patient Endurance. And I'd like to consider what it looks like for the Christian to have patient endurance and how that's part of following Jesus. And I realize that there's a certain amount of endurance that is needed for a lot of people in life, whether or not they are believers. And I remember a former coworker of mine who was an unbeliever, and he had a lot of difficulties in life, and he would often share those with me. I would hear about his struggles. And for him, as I think about his life, it seemed, the way he was talking to me, that just living life took a lot of endurance at times for him. You might know some people like that as well. And is that what endurance is for the Christian? And Matthew 24, I'll open with this verse here. Jesus says, "He that shall endure to the end shall be saved." So is Jesus talking about just making it through the common struggles of life that most anybody can face? Just do your best to make it through. Is there anything different when it comes to the Christian? about following Jesus specifically. And I'll just give my main point right up front here. I believe that the Christian's patient endurance is directly related to the path that Jesus calls us to. So we looked at that narrow path. It's an ongoing path. And there are times that we realize, you know, there would be an easier way if I would just leave the narrow path. Different things that we face in life that bring us to some points of decision. Things that Jesus calls us to. And just like a marathon runner might think, you know, I could just quit and be done. And I wouldn't have to finish, I wouldn't have to put myself through this anymore. But patient endurance keeps on going. And you know, this morning is our council service. And for council and service, we generally want to think about where we're at with God. And I would like us, as we consider council, just to keep this aspect of endurance in mind. Am I being faithful in remaining on the path that God has called me to? Do I still have that patient endurance to keep on following and to maintain loyalty, even though the path might be hard? Am I still on that path? And I just think of the words of Jesus to the church of Ephesus in Revelation 2, where he says, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. So he commends them, but he says, I have this against you. You've left your first love. Something is missing that used to be there. That's obviously followed by a call to repent. Bring back that former love that you have. So have you left your first love? Or are you continuing on with patient endurance? So I was pondering what passage to share on, and there are quite a few. And I'd like to just reference a few of those to start. But we'll be turning to Hebrews chapter 6. You can turn there a while. But we could just as easily have a message on this from Matthew 13 in the parable of the soils. Jesus describes two soils in particular where the seed started to grow, but then it didn't endure for different reasons. We could consider what those reasons are, the cares, the pleasures of life, the difficulties that arise. Also Luke 14, 28, which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost? Otherwise, when he's partway through and decides he doesn't have enough, he doesn't want to follow through. Going to be subject of mockery. Luke 9:62, Jesus says, no man having put his hand to the plow and turning back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Now, there's quite a few others, and I'll read a few of those towards the end as well. But I found this idea shows up several times in Hebrews. So I'll be looking at a couple different verses throughout Hebrews to look at this point of endurance. We'll start with Hebrews chapter 6, and I'll read verses 9 through 15, and I just want to give a brief background of the beginning of the chapter. We see a call to move on and to press on in growth, go past the elementary principles into further growth, and then we see a warning about falling away, and a caution that it is impossible to restore someone who's fallen away. And I don't know quite what all that means to be fallen away. There's a lot that could be pondered about that. What really is meant there with that? But I think there's a connection between these verses and what Jesus says in Luke 9 about no man having put his hand to the plow and turning back is fit for the kingdom of God. And also the reminder to remember Lot's wife. I believe Luke 17, we see that reminder. Remember Lot's wife. She turned around. She turned back. And think it's something we need to think seriously about, this warning. But I'd like to focus with that backdrop in our minds. I'd like to read verses 9 through 15. And he says, "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee.' And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So he opens this section by saying that we are persuaded of better things. And he goes on to say that there are things that should accompany salvation, thinking of the growth that is expected from the beginning of the chapter. Moving on, he said we're persuaded better things, the things that accompany salvation, going beyond just the basics. And so as we are following the path that Jesus lays out, there's a change of life that's expected. And there's a growth. It's not meant to be something that just happens at one point and then nothing changes. But we keep on growing. And as we look through the teachings of Jesus and the things that he calls us to, it's an ongoing journey of growth. And I don't think we ever quite arrive at the final point, but we're always growing toward that. If something is alive but not growing, that would be cause for concern. Like if our garden would be starting to grow but just doesn't quite ever mature, we would wonder about that. And a baby that doesn't grow, that would get some attention, some concern. What is wrong? And I think the same is true for a Christian. There's growth that's just expected, a moving on. And you know, sometimes we can't always see that growth. But when we look back, we can see the change from where we were to where we are now. And in the moment, it's maybe difficult to see. But we just need to be faithful in doing what we know God has called us to for right now. Verse 10, he says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work, your labor of love. God remembers the things that you do, the service, the ministering, as a result of those things that accompany salvation. I believe there's a focus on others, a serving that we see here, not primarily on self. And then verses 11 and 12 talk about the author's desire that each one of us would maintain a diligence. He says, we desire that every one of you would show the same diligence unto the end. And just following through the whole way, perseverance. Not to be slothful. Verse 12 talks about not being slothful or lazy, but allowing the hope of God's promises to motivate us. God is faithful, and he will follow through with each and every one of the promises that he gives. And I find it interesting that most often with the reminders for endurance that we read in the Bible, there's often the hope that we see, the final end, reminder. We can lose sight of that. And he says, keep those promises in mind. And he asks us to consider examples of those around us, those who have gone before us, how they have been faithful. And the two points that he brings out specifically, so verse 12, we see this, be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So these people who have gone on before us, the examples, consider their faith and their patience. Faith is believing in God, taking God at his word, and the promises just being convinced that God will follow through. And patience, or you could say perseverance, I think they're synonymous there. Perseverance in realizing that we haven't arrived yet, but we're on the way, we're continuing on. And I think faith is a key part of this motivation to keep going as we hold on to God's promises. You know, the marathon runner has the finish line in mind, and that's what keeps them going. The thrill of crossing that line, and you know, God has a finish line as well. The end result that we are looking forward to, the glories of heaven, the reward of a crown, reigning with Christ. 2 Timothy 2 verse 12 says, if we endure with him, we shall also reign with him. So can we take God at his word with these promises and be motivated to perseverance? And then verses 13 to 15, he gives a specific example. So verse 12 is just in general. Then he gives the example of Abraham. God made a promise to Abraham of blessing. Verse 14, surely blessing, I will bless thee. Multiplying, I will multiply thee. And then verse 15, we see how Abraham patiently endured. It says, after he patiently endured, he received the promise. And this is where we see that phrase of patient endurance. And you know, we so often want immediate results. We want to see things happen quick. I think that's just a human tendency that we have. And we want to see the promise fulfilled right away. And it's hard for us to wait and not see results right away. But this is for the long term. And I think this is a lifelong journey that we're on, a marathon. And we need to keep the hope of God's promises in view to spur us on. And we look to examples as well to encourage us in our endurance. So now let's turn a few pages over to Hebrews chapter 10. I'd like to read verses 36 to 39 from Hebrews chapter 10. And we see a very similar thought being brought out at Hebrews 10. I'll read verses 36 to 39. And he says, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So here again, we see the need for patience in our journey. Doing the will of God, being faithful in doing the will of God, patience in that, and waiting to receive the promise. He says, God will come. At one point, there will be that final reckoning, the final judgment. But be patient and wait for that time. And we also see the caution for drawing back. If anyone draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. Again, reflecting that warning about turning back. And he said, we are not of those who draw back, but we persevere. And an encouragement once again to live by faith, taking God at his word. Verse 38, the just shall live by faith. And directly after this is Hebrews 11. We know Hebrews 11 is the chapter of the heroes of faith, the many examples that are considered in this living by faith, those who followed through with doing God's will with patience. And I think I'll jump directly after Hebrews 11 to Hebrews 12, We'll pick up, we'll read the first three verses from Hebrews chapter 12. Directly after the heroes of faith, he says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." And I think I'll stop there. We could keep going. There's more we could consider there with the chastening and lifting up the hands which hang down on the feeble knees. But I think I'll focus on these verses right here. And he zeroes in on the idea of keeping in mind those who have gone before, those who have already run. As we have these hearers of faith in mind, we're told to allow those witnesses to motivate us in our race. Put aside anything that could hinder our journey, the weight and the sin. Lay that aside. And each verse, verses 1 to 3, speak of endurance in some way. So verse 1, we're told to run with patience. And many other translations would have endurance. Run with endurance, the race that we have in front of us. As we consider the witnesses that are looking on, that should be an encouragement to keep us pressing on. And I'm not sure quite what the right theology is on those who have gone before. Are they able to watch us as we live life? I don't know that I have an exact answer on that, but I think at the very least, their testimonies that we can read of what they did should be an encouragement. And obviously, Jesus is our ultimate example. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who endured so much himself. He endured the cross, despising the shame. And it's because he was also focusing on something bigger, the joy that was set before him. As it says, the joy of the plan of salvation being completed. And sometimes we grow weary and faint. And we can consider the much easier path that we could have by turning back. But verse 3 is just a reminder, look to Jesus and the example that he gave for us to encourage us in our walk. I was doing some checking on people who run marathons. I was curious how many people start a marathon but then don't finish. And it's actually fairly low. It's only 1% of people who begin a marathon and then give up. And I don't know, I think that would almost be an embarrassment just to start out and then not be able to finish. So I think there's that factor of determination to keep going. But I think a big factor in finishing the race, as I was just looking over a few comments from people of who have run, a big factor in finishing is having support people. And it's a really big thing to have people at different points throughout the race just giving encouragement and cheering you on. And people were sharing what they have found is helpful and what is just not helpful. And it's really helpful that there, people have said, to have somebody there who just offers encouragement, whether it's through holding up signs or just giving cheers as they go past, providing, you know, whatever they eat, water or just different things along the way. And it does something in the mind, just to see past all the weariness that you're feeling, to have that encouragement of somebody else coming alongside. And what people have said is not helpful. Found it interesting that it's not helpful to tell people they need to run faster. And if you are trying to encourage this person and tell them to run faster, they say that's not really helpful. These people are toward the end of the race, are very weary, and they don't need reprimanded to run faster, but just encouragement, having them cheer you on, and that's really what makes a big difference. Max Lucado tells a story of his one friend, Dan, who ran a triathlon. And that's the next level up from a marathon. I think there's three different events that they go through. There's swimming and then biking, and then they finish up with a marathon. So vigorous race and competition. He ran in upstate New York. They had preparations for this triathlon. And this certain location was known for having a big crowd at the end, and the whole town, I think, would just show up at the finish line and just thunderous applause and cheering as the runners come in. And this man, Dan, was on the final leg, and he was just hardly able to keep going. And he was just about ready to give up. He thought, I can't finish. But then he heard the faint roar of the crowd in the distance, and that little bit of applause gave him the boost that he needed. And then he said, till he crossed the finish line, he wasn't even thinking about his aching body anymore, but was able to finish strong. And it was the crowd, the applause, that kept him going. And I just see that as a good parallel to our journey of following Jesus and how we need each other. To have that cloud of witnesses just cheering us on, both those who are living and the testimonies of those who have gone before. And I thought about it as well. Unlike a marathon, we don't train before we run, but we train as we run. And it's something we develop each day. And there are those moments where we might question, why am I taking this effort? The patient endurance we need to remember. So I'd like to consider, in closing, just what that might look like. And I know there's many different scenarios for each one of us, what it looks like to endure as a Christian. I think for some, it can be a life or death decision. Identifying with Jesus can be a very important decision, maybe giving up your life or giving up privileges. I thought of the story of Polycarp, one of the earliest Christian martyrs, supposedly a disciple of the Apostle John. And he was brought to the stake and presented with a decision: you either renounce Jesus or we will burn you at the stake. And his response was powerful. He said, 86 years I have served him and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King and Savior? So he very clearly made the decision to identify with Jesus, even at a great cost. And maybe for some, it is abstaining from a sinful pleasure, saying no to those desires that are wrong, those fleshly lusts that war against our soul, as Peter talks about. Those things that allure us, but Jesus says no. That's not the path for the Christian. Following Jesus is a path of self-denial, and sometimes those fleshly desires need to be denied. And maybe for some others, it might be choosing to forgive or choosing to love one's enemies. Some of those difficult decisions that come from Jesus' teachings. That can be a very difficult decision for some. And sometimes we can try to explain away Jesus' words and to soften it to make him say something that he actually didn't say. And we try to take that narrow path and make it just a little wider. These are the moments that we need to keep our goal in mind, those promises of God. Remember the cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on to run with patience this marathon that we have in front of us. So I'd like to close by sharing just a few other verses of endurance as we think about enduring in this race of life. James chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." We count those happy which endure, reminding us of the end. Romans 2, verse 7 says, "God will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality." Galatians 6, verse 9 says, "Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not." And also 2 Timothy 2, verse 12, "If we endure, we shall also reign with him." And the beginning of Hebrews we see as well, Hebrews 3, 14, "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold to the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." So many different reminders and encouragements to endure, to have that patient endurance. So in conclusion, I would like us all to just consider where we are at in this journey of following Jesus. Are you patiently enduring and following the path that Jesus has given? And maybe there's things that come up and distract us. Maybe there's things that come up where we have a difficult decision to make. Things that in some way question us if we will turn back or not. They want to remind us of this patient endurance that we are called to remain faithful to the end. And I'd like to close with Jesus' words from Matthew 24, 13. "He that shall endure to the end shall be saved." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the many examples that you have given us of being faithful, including the example of Jesus. And I pray that we could take heart in our journey, the things that we're facing, to be faithful and steadfast to the end as you have called us to. Would you give us strength to that end as we go about our week ahead, and help us to be faithful in patient endurance. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.